Answering your tough financial questions for the past 21 years, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters with co-hosts Scott Hanson and Pat McLean. Do you have a financial question that needs answering? Call us at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Thanks for joining us on our very last program for 2017.
And it is not just our last program of the year, but it is a special program called The Best Of. And truly, this isn't just like, oh, these guys want a day off. They're just going to run some rewinds.
Well,
partially.
So let's go on.
But we actually have gone with, back to our
Jasmine
producer.
Jasmine Flores,
the lovely and talented Jasmine Flores. Are you allowed to say that anymore? Lovely and talented? The lovely and talented. There's so many new rules. The lovely and talented.
Can you say lovely to anybody?
I don't know if you're allowed to say lovely.
And there's a time it would be, you know, whether it's a male or female, too.
Yes. Anymore, yes. But so. Anyway, well, we learned that about this this year. There's lots of new rules. But.
Or maybe this. Anyway.
The lovely and talented Jasmine has gone through and
listened to a ton of calls this year.
And got together the best.
Some of our best calls of the year.
And we're going to share them with you.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, my favorite experience of the year was when that gentleman called in the show and then put us on hold and never came back.
Yeah. He never came back, or we finally hung up on him?
Yeah, we finally hung up in.
Yeah, kind of a little rule, by the way, and we love taking calls, but if you call a talk show and you've waiting a while and then you finally get on.
Don't put them on hold.
Don't put them on hold. Oh, hold on for me.
Or just last week, the gentleman that called in from a plane, he was flying a plane somewhere and he was calling in on his Bluetooth.
Yeah, that was a little interesting too. Don't call. But I'm not a pilot, so I don't know the risk about. I just kind of figure that maybe there might be safer times to do things than.
There might be.
Anyway, to join, I'm going to give you our call numbers, but.
Just go to our website.
Here's what I'm going to. Huh?
Go to our website.
Or just listen to the program and enjoy yourself.
Okay.
How about that?
That'll work too.
Instead of telling him to do more work. Yeah, it's the end of the year. You don't want to do any more work. You know, when you look back at the year, there's some things we're happy about, some things we're not happy about. Hopefully, you've been pleased with Hanson McLean's Money Matters, so because we've been enjoying it. Anyway, so Jasmine has put together some of our best callers of the year, and we hope you enjoy these calls as much as we enjoy these calls because we think they're fun. Anyway, we're going to start off talking with Jack. Now we're going to go to Jack. Jack, you're with Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
All right, guys. Thanks for taking my call today.
Yes, sir. Cool. How can we help you, Jack?
Well, here's my situation. I am active duty enlisted military.
Thank you.
Projected to retire. You're welcome. Thank you for your support. Retiring next year. I'm not sure where I'm going to live yet. I haven't made that decision, but I am undecided on whether or not to mortgage a home or pay cash for a new home because I have managed to save some money over the years.
How many years will you have with the military?
23 and a half. Roughly.
And how old are you?
I'm 41.
And are you
just turned?
I assume you're going to go back to work in a something else other than the military, either as a contractor to the military or into some sort of field. You'll go back to work.
You don't think he's retiring for good at 41?
I've met guys that
he's
have gone
go sit at the beach every day.
I've met guys that retire from the military and they say they're retiring, but it normally doesn't last too long after.
Yeah, it's largely terminology. I'll definitely be seeking employment.
And what will your pension be?
Projected to be about $3,100 before tax.
And are you married?
I am, yes.
And are you taking a survivor benefit on this?
I will be taking the survivor benefit plan. That's the current plan. Yes.
Okay. And what's a house going to cost you?
Hopefully less than $300. That's what I've managed to save.
And you're worried about what to do in a year from now?
Yes, sir. Pretty much.
That's how he saved $209. That's how he saved roughly $300,000.
Yeah, I get that. Working in the military. Did you inherit any of this money?
No, I did not.
Oh, my gosh. What a great job. So it kind of depends.
If you, how are these dollars invested today?
At the moment, they are no longer invested. They are sitting in my savings account.
Okay. What do you think you should do? What feels good to you?
It feels good for me to buy the home outright.
Then that's what you should do.
Oh, wait a minute, Scott.
Ownership.
Wait a minute. Do you have any children?
I have one child in senior in high school who will be graduating and heading off to college.
And is the money set aside for the college?
So I have transferred my entire post 9/11 GI Bill to her, and she also has a 529 fund that I set up years ago that's got about $50,000
in it. Okay. Scott, you are so smug.
What do you mean?
Scott's sitting here shaking his head.
I just knew this.
Like he knows everything about you, Jack. Scott's sitting here shaking his head like, oh, I know everything about Jack.
You know, it's funny.
And why do you know everything about Jack, Scott?
I've been doing this for a long time. I don't know. You get to understand people on so here's the thing about money that I find fascinating, because people are quick to tell their people how they should invest their money, how they should spend their money, etc. Right?
You are too. That's what we do for a living.
I understand, but no. What I want to do is figure out what an individual wants to do. That's why we ask.
What's most comfortable for Jack?
What felt right for Jack? If you told me. If you called and said, hey, Scott, Pat, my goal is to die with as much money as possible. I don't care about my standard of living between now and the time I die. Right? That was your goal.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, fine. Mortgage the house. Take a large mortgage on it. Invest it in, frankly, it's a 30-year mortgage. Let's invest in the stock market. Put in the S&P 500. Extremely high probability that you'll be further ahead down the road by living that way. But for most people, that's not their goal, is to die with as much money in the bank as possible. When we all make choices with our money, when you choose to go out to dinner, for example.
Have children.
Have children. These choices we make that.
Let your children get driver's licenses.
That take money away from us. They're not helping us with our net worth, our financial net worth anyway. But they're accomplishing something else that might be valuable to us in our life.
Supposedly and, some sort of spiritual net worth.
And so if for you, Jack, look, from a financial standpoint.
You're fine either which way you go.
You've lived below your means since you enlisted at age 18 or 17.
Yes, I've been doing it for years.
Right. And that's not going to change. Jack's not going to change, nor does Jack want to change. Why should Jack suddenly start spending more money? What for? You probably look at some of your colleagues and think, why are you wasting your money like that? You're an idiot, right? You probably do. Just think.
Is that how you feel about
actually,
your colleagues?
Yes, I do that frequently.
He does that frequently, right?
Do you?
They think the same thing. Why is Jack?
Yeah, why is Jack saving? So I agree with Scott. Jack,
it doesn't matter.
Pay off the house. Buy a house for cash.
And a beautiful thing
I'd slow down. If you found the perfect house that you wanted and it was $350,000 rather than $300,000.
Totally agree with Pat.
I wouldn't have any problem in the world getting a $50,000 or even a $100,000 mortgage
on
it.
15-year mortgage.
Or a 30 due in 7 or a 30 due in 5.
Yeah. Totally agree with that.
And what is your job pay now a month?
Well, it varies. I'm living on the installation right now, so I get a lot of living costs covered for me. So I'm grossing about $5,700 a month.
Okay. Yeah, and going out and finding another job, I agree with Scott. But if you find a house that's $350,000 rather than
$300,000,
just pay the difference and enjoy it.
So you would suggest that I maybe mortgage $100,000?
Oh, no.
I'd use all – if you had $300,000 in the bank and the house cost $300,000, then pay cash for it.
But I understand. But say if it was $350,000.
Then get a $50,000 mortgage.
Then get a $50,000 mortgage. Oh. Don't be afraid of the mortgage. You're 41 years of age. You're going to go out and get another job.
With a pension of $3,100 a month.
Yeah, you're going to go get another job. And I don't know what you do there, but my guess is that there's a good chance you'll make more money at your new job than you did your old one.
Likely, yes.
Yeah. So my point being is if you and your wife are out shopping for a home and something's in the $375,000, $350,000, $400,000 range, don't write it off because you're going to get a mortgage.
Don't tell her that yet. by the way.
Yeah, you can tell her that. You can tell her
it's too late. She's sitting next to me.
You can absolutely.
I think she knows you pretty well by now.
Yeah, so. But my point being is don't go cheap on the house if the one you really want is $50,000 or $75,000.
Don't let that stop you. I totally agree with that.
Get
you're 41.
Mortgage. You're 41.
You're not 61.
Yeah, and 71. You got a kid in college. I mean, you're almost done.
Done.
Almost.
What does done mean?
You know, done. Done with all the like hard stuff. We're getting a monthly pension and your kid off to college and paid for it. That's the hard part. Is it not?
Well, hopefully Jack will find some new challenges ahead of him. At 41, you're still young.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it. I don't feel very young.
Yeah, 41, Jack. You're young.
Yeah.
Don't argue with us.
We
appreciate the call.
Two guys in their 50s. That is so young.
Ah, I remember. I'm 41.
Let's talk to Raj. Raj, you're with Hansen McLean.
Hi, Scott. Hi, Pat. How are you this morning?
Wonderful. How are you doing, Raj?
Good. I had a question about long-term care. I'm 48 years old, and I'm just past couple of years just looking into them. I know there's been a perfect storm between the interest rates and the claims with baby boomers going forward.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been looking at the partnership long-term care, also long-term care insurance, and also the CalPERS long-term care. I have a sibling that works for the state. So I can get CalPERS long-term care.
Is that right?
Is that hilarious?
Is that right?
A sibling.
Yes.
You got to love the state of California. The highest tax income is this. All they keep doing is raising taxes.
Oh, my gosh. That's just crazy.
Oh, you work for the state? Not only do you have benefits, but you have any siblings? Your siblings get
a neighbor?
Close friend?
I think actually... Yeah, your father-in-law, your mother-in-law, they have a whole string of people that qualify.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so what's your question
for you? I'm sure it doesn't cost the taxpayers a dime, Pat. I wouldn't worry about that.
As I'm Googling houses for sale in Nevada. I wonder if my wife would like living in this state.
If Elon Musk could get that hyperloop between Nevada and California.
Yeah, we'd be done.
Yeah.
So what's your question for us?
Excellent. Looking at those three, I'm not sure which one would be more beneficial. I know that the sweet spot to get the insurance would be between ages 50 and 55.
So here's how we view long-term care insurance, okay? If you look at most long-term care expenditures, they're for a shorter period of time. The average male is about a year. The average female is about 2 years.
That's average.
These are average. Now, if you do some, you plan for your retirement well, you could afford on your last year to be in a long-term care facility or the last 2 years, maybe the last 3 years. Where it's devastating is where it's a multiple-year stay, right? Where there's maybe early onset Alzheimer's or something where, and those are the outliers, but that's where you need the insurance, right? Think of it like, it's the major issues in life that we need insurance, not for the minor things. So we think the best way to view long-term care is if you could have an extremely long waiting period, a 2 year wait period.
2 years.
And then a lifetime payment. Because a lot of policies are sold where it's maybe a 90-day waiting period, but it's capped at a couple years' worth of payments. And when you're thinking, well, I'm only buying a couple $100,000 worth of insurance, I could afford the couple $100,000 insurance. I'm worried about the $2 million claim.
And the longer the waiting period, think about it as like the...
Auto insurance.
Auto insurance. It's the deductible.
I have a $5,000 deductible on my auto. And the reason I do is because I know one thing. I get in a fender bender.
You're not going to submit the claim.
Because the rates go up.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to submit a claim unless it's a long
time. So that's the first thing to look at. The second thing to look at is obviously, how secure is the company that you're buying it from? And the pool of which you get to choose is relatively small compared to 15 years ago. There's just not that many players in the industry anymore. My guess is you're going to land on the one that allows you to buy it through the state. That would be my guess.
Yeah.
Is that the way you're leaning?
Right. That's the way I'm leaning, but I need to get more information from them. I know I can mail away for a brochure to get more information. I did go on that areyoureadyca.gov for their long-term care information
mm-hmm.
that they have on their website. But I'm still just not certain whether.
What's your income like?
I'm making about $220 a year.
What do you have in savings investments?
In my 401k, I have about $560. In my brokerage accounts, I have about $100.
Okay. $100K. And will you have a pension at retirement?
I will, but I'm not confident. I'm assuming there might be a soft freeze or a hard freeze.
Right, so it's not
going to be 48. So,
yeah, it's you're probably
makes sense.
I don't
yeah, you're probably a good candidate to buy long-term care insurance.
Yeah.
Okay.
That
okay.
might be a wise.
And do you have any leanings? Do you have any leanings towards a partnership program or just?
You mean the CalPERS program?
No, the California State Partnership. I'm not an expert on that.
I don't know.
I'm not an expert in the California Partnership Program, so we can't speak to that.
I don't know.
Okay.
I would talk to someone who specializes just in long-term care insurance.
Okay.
Why?
Okay.
Scott, he's going to try to sell them their own product.
You know, there are people out there that do this on an hourly billing.
I've never seen it.
I have.
Oh, is that right?
I've heard of it.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
My guess is that you're going to land on the CalPERS one. That would be my guess.
Okay. And then I should be looking at the long-term or long waiting period.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, they call it elimination period.
As long as possible.
Yeah, a couple years even.
Yeah.
Okay.
All righty?
Okay, great.
All right, Roger.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yeah, wish you luck. So, Pat, I'll tell you a story. So, a few months ago, a friend said, hey, would you mind meeting with a friend of mine who's looking at a career change? So I met with this man. He was, mid-30s or something like that. And he was a wholesaler in long-term care insurance. Okay, so his job, think about any other industry that has wholesale, right? So he's a middleman. His job was to talk to other people who sold long-term care insurance and help explain their products and say, well, here's why our product's better. He worked for an insurance company of some sort. And he was kind of getting tired of the grind, and he was thinking about becoming a financial advisor. So this person asked if he could meet with me to talk about what it would mean to be a financial advisor. And so as I'm meeting with him, I said, look, you've got 15 years of specialty in this industry. Why don't you, there's a great need out there. Most financial planners
don't understand long.
Not well enough. They know enough to be dangerous, not to really, just like this last call.
We said, yes. Yeah, we said we didn't know.
We're not experts in long-term care. So why don't you, I said, there's clearly a need for some expertise in this area. And he had mentioned there's someone that he knew that did hourly billing, long-term care planning, just like you would hire an accountant.
Someone would pay you.
And I said, that's really interesting. But anyway, my advice to him was, he asked for my opinion, my advice. I said, I wouldn't try to go into the financial planning business. It's going to take you years to build up a clientele. I would, you've already got this 15 years of expertise. There's clearly a need in the marketplace. I'd find a way to be a specialist in this area. And I said, if there's a business model out there that's working with some sort of you can charge someone a flat fee for analysis and recommendation. I said, I think there's a market for it.
Copy the business model.
Yeah, or improve upon it. 1-888-2-HANSEN is the number. And long-term care is just such a prickly area because there are a lot of people who bought policies years ago.
And thought that premiums would never go up.
And they kept going up and up and up and up. And let's talk with Dwight in Montana. Dwight, you're with Hanson McLean.
How are you guys doing?
Hi, Dwight.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Okay, so I have an annuity plan, and I have about $134,000 in it between my personal and what the contractor or the employer contributes. I'm putting in about another $10,000 a year.
Are you, so can I just better understand this? Are you a union employee?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and so this is... The approximately $10,000 gets contributed because of prevailing wage. That's what. So, is that correct?
Yeah. I'm doing an additional. I think a couple bucks extra an hour.
Okay.
So the contractor's doing about $5,000. I'm doing the other, $4,500.
Got it. So for the rest of the listeners, we're going to. Dwight has actually it's an annuity. But it's not the annuity that we rip on all the time for the rest of the listeners. So we're going to have this discussion about Dwight, his retirement. He doesn't have a choice as to whether he uses this annuity or not. This is actually his union decided this was the investment they were going to use. So anyway, what's your question for us?
I got a couple parts to this. So I've got 12 more years of, and then I'll be able to retire and start enjoying the rest of my life. So in the next 12 years,
my first advice, Dwight. Enjoy life today.
Yeah, yeah. If we're going to wait to enjoy life in 12 years, you might not.
No. I'm going to be able to enjoy life without having to punch a time clock.
Okay, perfect.
We feel better about that now. Okay, so your question?
12 years.
So I've got 12 years. So I know at some point I want to pull back my investments so they're a little bit more secure or less volatile, I guess.
How old are you?
So I'll be 48 later this month.
Okay.
And so, you know, I don't know, you know, what the time frame, do I do it a year out, 2 years, 5 years? And then the other question that I have for you guys is we've got so many different investments. So I don't know, you know, which ones, what's the best way to figure out
here's what we're going to do. So you're 48 years of age.
I'm 50, right? So I'm about your age.
I'm 54.
I would have 80% of the portfolio in equities.
Yes.
Stocks. Long term. Because over the long period of time, over a 20-year period of time, that brings you to 58. You're not going to spend all these dollars the day you retire, right?
Not exactly.
No, you're going to turn it into some income to help supplement for the remainder of your life. So it needs to last you really to your dying day, maybe you're married, then to a spouse, et cetera. So
and
it's got a long time. Even though you're 48, it's still a long time.
And the best portfolio is the one that you'll actually keep during the downturn. So I think that I agree with Scott. 70 to 80% equities.
Yep.
In terms of...
I mean, it's going to take some wild swings.
In terms of the allocation, this is something that's a little different. Because they give you a big menu to choose from. Correct. Like they have the S&P 500 and then this bond fund and this and this.
And you don't
and this.
The only choice you have is which options within this annuity. You don't have a choice whether it's this group annuity contract or anything else,
and
correct?
It could be written in Chinese because they're all just words, right? And what the average investor does is actually look to see which one has performed the best in the last year, which is a terrible way of actually allocating the portfolio.
That's right.
So
then you're just buying high.
Hey, John, is Chris in the room? I can't see her. We're going to. Dwight, you're going to email those to us, and I'm going to have an advisor actually build a model for you. Can I do that? Am I allowed that? Is compliance?
Yeah.
No, I'm not asking. I'm asking if I'm allowed with our compliance department. I'm going to do it anyway. So you're going to actually email the choices over. We're going to build a model that's probably 75 to 80% equities, and you're just going to stay on the line and give us the information. You're going to email it to us. And then we'll get back to you in a week based upon the choices that they give you with a portfolio. All right?
Oh, that sounds good.
All right. No charge.
I definitely appreciate that.
All right, Dwight. So hold on. They'll get you
information. But I do get to stay at your house when I visit Montana.
Hey, you know what? Come right now and you can experience the full part of Montana.
Come right now. That's right. Nothing like dead of winter. Come to Montana.
Yeah. It's not the end of the earth.
Thanks, Dwight.
Appreciate the call.
Appreciate the call. Look at Pat. It's like Christmas continues for the McLean.
I'm not going to do the work. I walked in the break room. They're all standing around. Oh,
all standing around.
Not anymore.
See what happens. It'll get to the point when Pat's walking down the halls. If anyone's having any sort of conversation, they'll just pretend to get back to the computer. I want to make sure that they're super busy so that
everyone scrambles.
Yeah, because so then Pat doesn't give them more work. Hey, Billy. Actually, we don't have any Billys. Billy,
get over here.
There's a portfolio for you to analyze.
Dang it. Why aren't you happy here?
You're sitting there talking in the break room. You've been there 16 minutes. And the break's 15.
You know, when I was your age, we didn't even have a break room.
Hey, in the new year, we are going to be taking you. We've been listening to many calls in this program, Best of Calls. In the new year, we're going to continue to focus on calls. So we'd love for you to call in with a question if you got something going on in your financial life. Not only that, we've got for 2018, we've got a ton of workshops. We've got some webinars. So if you want to learn in a live form, you can come to one of our live events. If you want to learn digitally through some other thing, you can go to our website. If you want to meet with an advisor, we always encourage people, the beginning of the year is a great time to get off the couch and get moving on it. So,
or if you just want to even talk to an advisor on the phone, that's available to you as well.
Yeah.
So in any way that you want to interact with us, we have heard you, and we are trying to provide that.
Yeah, so make sure you go to HansonMcLean.com, and in any of those things we just talked about, you can get answers to some of those at HansonMcLean.com. Well, hey, Pat, we are listening to some of the best of calls for 2017. And frankly, I kind of like doing a program like this because
it's pretty easy.
It's not a lot of work. So maybe for 2018, we should have several best of programs.
Like every other week. I don't think we have that much material to make best of.
No. And actually, you know, it's nice. We have a great producer, Jasmine, who truly does the best of, because I think times in the past we'd have the best of and someone just do a rerun of a program. But so these are truly some of the best calls. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue with calls. But we also have a best of guest. We've had a number of guests on in 2017, and we're going to have a best of guest. So stick around for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Would you like an opinion on a financial matter you're dealing with? Whether it is about retirement, investments, taxes, or 401ks, Scott Hanson and Pat McLean would like to help you by answering your call. To join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Can't get enough of Hanson McLean's Money Matters? Visit HansonMcLean.com/radio to listen to the Money Matters podcast.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
We're finishing up 2017. Yeah. You know, I don't want to be one of those guys that says, I'm going by so fast.
Well, then don't.
Okay, I won't. But I was recalling the more interesting year-end show was in 1999. And the year 2000, the Y2K, the computer reset, and as we got further into that, there was a lot of concern, a lot of calls in the program throughout the year. What's going to happen?
Oh, yeah,
worry
Y2K,
about my retirement
Y2K.
Accounts. What happens if my retirement account disappears? I mean, all kinds of things. And it was a non-issue.
Nothing happened.
No. Just like this show.
Nothing
happens. No, anyway. But I know that this is the time of year for many of us. We take a look back at our past year and look forward to our year ahead.
Do a little make some planning. Sort of planning. We do business goals. Planning. Some people do financial planning for themselves on an annual basis, as they should.
Yeah, I think it's a great time for you to take a look at your own situation. Beginning of the year, you're on track to where you need to be. Perhaps you've had some large run-ups, good gains last year, and you're wondering, do I have the right kind of allocation? Am I prepared for when the next downturn may come? And
how's my 401k allocated?
Set for retirement? And considering roughly half of us move into retirement earlier than we had planned because some outside force, something happens, it's important that we're all retirement ready. So one of the things I encourage everybody right now is for 2018, have a meeting with a qualified financial advisor, certified financial planner or chartered financial consultant, a fee-based advisor, someone who can sit down and help make sure you're on the right track. I think it would make some sense just kind of have a – oftentimes you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, and it makes sense to get a second opinion.
Or a
first opinion.
Yeah, first opinion. Do some planning. Yeah.
But most certainly, if you're within 5 years of retirement or you think you have a retirement goal or date, you can measure yourself to see how you're on track. You can actually figure out your probability of success on hitting that particular date. Or at least we can for you.
Yeah. So
if you say, I think I'm going to retire in 5 years, it's got to be more than 5 years. This is what I need to do to retire in 5 years.
So whatever your goal is for 2018 in the next few years, it makes sense to kind of sit down, assess where you are, taking too much risk or not taking enough risk or however things are allocated. But we encourage you to meet with a financial advisor. And of course, Hanson McLean, we've got a team of great financial advisors throughout Northern California, the Bay Area, and Denver, and would love the chance to meet with you as well. 888-2-Hanson will join you with Hanson McLean. Anyway, right now we're going to listen back to the calls here, our best of calls. We're going to talk with Ward. Ward, welcome to Hanson McLean.
Yeah, hi. Good
Ward.
Day.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, okay, my situation is this. I'm 85. My wife passed away about a year and a half ago, and I'm downsizing and sold my house, and I'm going to have about $140,000 in cash. I'm still working. I hope to work another 2 or 3 years, and my health is good. The problem I have is, what do I do with that cash? I, you know, going to the stock market might be a little risky right now because at some point in time, I think it's going to really, really go downhill. I've been talking about perhaps buying some gold coins, and I just really need to know what your suggestion is. What should I do with that money?
Ward, what money do you have outside of this $140,000? I assume that when you downsize, you're paying cash for your new home. Is that correct, or condo, whatever it is?
No, I'm getting a loan. I'm getting a loan. It's only going to cost me about $12,000. And when I say 140, I'm talking about 152 minus the 12 for the down payment.
How much is what's the cost of the home you're buying?
It's a downsizing to a townhouse. It's going to be $250,000. And then where Denver is, that's not a lot of money in Denver anymore.
Yeah, no. And do you have money outside of this $140,000?
No, not really. Maybe $20,000 in automobiles that are paid off. That's about it.
Okay. And when you let's say you retire in 3 years
at the age at the young age of 88.
Yes.
How much income will you have?
Well, the only income I'm going to have, at least at this point, unless I can save more money, the only point I'm going to have is Social Security of about, probably at that time, probably about $1,500 a month.
Okay. And how much are you earning at your job now?
It varies a little bit. I'm on commission. I would say somewhere between $50,000 and $80,000 a year.
You're amazing.
I know. I'm like.
Are you looking for work?
I'm like, I love it.
I want to hire him.
Working on commission. It's like going out and swinging every day.
I want you to come and work at Hanson McLean. I hope I've got half the energy.
I know. That's really great.
That's good for you.
I'm a very, very young 85.
Yeah, obviously. You're a commission job at 85.
Still 85. So yeah. here's what I would do with that. I would actually put it in the bank. That's what I would do with it. I would go to the website bankrate.com, bankrate.com, and it will give you a list of high-yield money markets that are FDIC insured, and you will go online.
Money markets or just savings accounts. Some have high savings accounts.
That's correct. And
like Goldman Sachs now has online savings accounts.
And they're 1% plus on these things. In many cases, and it's 100%
liquid. You don't want to lose these dollars.
You cannot put risk.
But what I'm afraid of is losing them through inflation. I mean, inflation right now, as you know, is low, but at some point in time, it's going to probably get quite high.
But gold does not, you know what? It's in spite of the marketing, the stuff that you've heard on the radio ads the last decade, gold is not always a good hedge for inflation. It's just not. If you look how gold performed during the 80s, remember how high inflation was during the 80s, gold, it hit a peak. And what year was it hit the peak? It hit a peak and it declined more than 50%, 60% while inflation was roaring its ugly head. So gold, the challenge with gold, it doesn't necessarily provide a hedge against inflation.
Yeah.
And that's not every time period it has.
Yeah. And more inflation... a concern for many should not be the biggest concern for you. So, I would
maintaining the same standard of living.
If you were sitting in
my
office.
It sounds to me like Ward never really wants to retire. Correct. He's going to retire when suddenly life tells me he has to, right?
So, Ward, if you were in my office and you said, Pat, I want to give you this $140,000 to invest, I would turn around and on my computer and go to bankrate.com and tell you exactly where to put it. And it wouldn't be with my firm. Because... you shouldn't be taking any risk with these dollars, right? You have no other source of income. This is it, right? This is it. So
yeah.
That's what I would do, bankrate.com.
Yeah.
And then you're going to find
I've got one other quick thing, though. I'm hearing that rather than just maybe gold bullion coins or something like that, I'm hearing that some of these like MS63, 64, $1 gold eagles or even the silver dollar coins in the higher
Ward. Mint. Ward. Yeah. Don't buy gold in any form. Any. Don't buy any form of gold. None.
You can't afford to lose these dollars.
It's too much risk. Do not buy any form of gold. Silver, platinum, any sort of commodity. Take these dollars and put them in a high-yield money market or savings account. That's it. Now, you can take my advice, our advice, or not, but that's what I would do. And you could try to talk me into why you should buy gold, and it won't work. Put it in the bank.
Totally agree with Pat on that. And wish you well, Ward, and sorry about being widowed at the stage in life.
And God bless you.
I know. Sitting there.
85 years of age, commissioned sales guy. I wonder what he sells.
I don't know.
In addition to some great calls we had through 2017, we had actually earlier in the year, we were doing a little more interviews, and then we kind of went back to some more callers and trying to find the right rhythm based upon what our listeners are telling us they want.
You're telling us you want.
That's correct. And but we did have a very interesting guest that we thought would play this segment because we were entertained and enlightened by it as well. So
she was charming.
Yeah, she was charming. So here goes.
You interviewed some people that are taking some ownership of their life and making some decisions and living. And unfortunately, a lot of retirees, they don't quite know what to do. And they end up...
Yeah, they have a big day
to
fill.
The world gets smaller and smaller every year.
And the days are longer and longer.
So tell us about some other people you had interviewed in the story you were doing.
Well, let me talk about the two guys I interviewed at Central Casting. Yes, in Burbank, there really is a place called Central Casting, and it has been there for decades. So one is Abe Rogland, and he's 67. And the other is Walt Krakowicki, and he is 77. So let me talk about Walt first. He retired 17 years ago at age 60. He was an executive. He was the head of food catering services at Universal Studios. Had enough. He and his wife decided, gosh, you know, we want to travel. Retires at 60. For 5 years, they have a blast traveling, all this stuff. Then he got bored. He got bored. He's feeling good. I know, again, I get it from my father too, this sort of Protestant work ethic or whatever. Like, if you're not earning an income, who are you really? Yeah, you know, that sort of thing. No.
Gee, I don't know that record.
Yeah. So he thought, I want to go do something, but I don't want to just volunteer. Great to volunteer, but I need to what do you do?
Yeah.
Well, I occasionally do some acting. So he started getting bit roles. His biggest role was in the movie Bad Teacher with Cameron Diaz. He played the dirty old man next door where he kind of leers at her and she washes his car. So he got paid $650 for that, but it was actually his Cadillac she's washing. They paid him $35 for the car, to use the car. She washes it, and he told me, I didn't wash that car for 2 months.
Yeah. I've had Cameron Diaz wash my car before.
Yeah, right. So he's one end, okay? He's a guy who's like...
Obviously not doing it for the fun.
Yeah. Doing it for the fun, right?
New chapter
now,
in life.
Now, Abe Rogland, the 67-year-old, a little bit different, always had the acting bug, but couldn't make it as a living. So he started his own tour logistics company in Los Angeles. He helped the cruise lines and all provide buses, that sort of thing. Well, that went belly up after the financial crisis. So he needed to start making a little money here and there. And he is doing quite a bit of commercial work. He was a CIA agent in Argo, that sort of thing. He says while he does it to keep busy, he sees a lot of people in his age group on the set who are doing it because they really do need the money. I mean, they've already cashed out their IRAs. Social Security's not cutting it. So they're doing it for the money.
That they have an actual need. It doesn't mean that they very well may enjoy it, so it's got a positive impact. But it's not unusual for when I'm traveling, I use either Lyft or Uber. I'm actually more prone to Lyft due to some of the things that have taken place at Uber. But culturally, it aligns better with my thinking. But I'm always amazed at the number of retirees that are actually driving. And whether you'd get the whole story or not the whole story, the story normally is, I just need to get out of the house for 4 hours a day.
get away from my wife. No.
Well, that's actually, you know what? Isn't that funny? It's because
if I'm on vacation for a while, my wife needs a break from me. I know that.
Oh, there's
more than I need a break from her, frankly.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, part of the adjustment in retirement is getting to know each other again and being around each other all the time. And I do think Yeah, getting a break is can be a healthy thing. But you're right. I run into these Uber drivers all the time who are over, you know, 65 or even 70, but they can still drive. And they're doing it partly for the money. You're not going to make much money in Uber, but a lot to get out because they're sociable. They miss part of work is socializing. And I have to say, I'm now it's sort of an odd situation. I last fall went sort of semi-retired. I'm a special correspondent under contract at CNBC because I wanted to try in my mid-50s to see if there's a second act. Like I'm filling in on talk radio in LA. Maybe I'm going to start a podcast.
So I wondered what it was because I noticed you were a what's your current title? It's changed, right?
Special correspondent.
Yes, I didn't know what special correspondent was.
What makes you so special?
They don't have to pay me full time. That's what makes me special.
Oh, I want a special title.
So tell us about this journey. This is interesting here. So mid-50s, been working your tail off, obviously. Now you just decide to go part-time and kind of half retire, half work.
Yeah, how's it going? Tell us where you're at.
It's great. I will say we haven't felt any financial tension yet because of it. You know, we're empty nesters now. The kids are on their own. They're off the payroll. And we could afford to live on one paycheck, my husband. And I thought, you know, I remember Ray Kroc was 52. You know, I read something somewhere that the biggest second act is at 56. And I thought, well, if I'm ever going to try something different, I got to try it now while I still have a 5 ahead of my age. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I talked them into a part-time deal. And it's a great part-time deal, which allows me to do just about anything else except show up on television somewhere else. Like I can't show up on Fox Business or something like that. That would be a big no-no. So I
actually not many people are showing up on Fox Business anymore.
Ah, there you go. Plus I like to wear pants and that would not be frowned upon over there. So I have had a blast. I have found, as many people who do this journey discover, how did you ever get anything done when you were working full time? I'm so busy. And while I'm not making as much money, I'm so much happier and energized and just positive looking forward. So, and again, not feeling the financial tension yet. Of course, could have been putting a lot more money in that 401k. But we started an S Corp, and I've discovered the tax advantages of that and trying to find the sweet spot between paying myself a salary so that I have to minimize the income taxes and you know, Social Security and all that, while maximizing what can be put in sort of a retirement form.
Yeah, like a self-directed 401k.
But I'm finding your story's I'm finding more interesting than
Jane, the reality is that people that change jobs in their 50s have a tendency to work a lot longer into their age 60s and early 70s than people that don't. Because
more businesses are started by people like you today than people in their 20s. Although we read about all the entrepreneurship and all this, it's people like yourself.
Exactly. And they're businesses like yourself, which are independent businesses that allow for a lifestyle and something. No one's coming into you and telling you you have to write an article on, you know, why the Swallows returned to Capistrano again this year.
Right. I mean, as I keep telling my husband, I'm making less money, but I'm doing what I want to do. And I think somewhere in his brain that is starting to sink in, that because his concern was, you're going to walk away, you're going to make half what you made before, and you're going to work twice as hard, 3 times, and I'm never going to see you. And I said, no, you'll see me more, which he does, and I'll be happier. And so I think, you know, as he sees financially we're fine and that I am happier, he's starting to come around. He's still the
when does he get his turn? Yeah. Or does he absolutely love his job and feel that he's got all the freedom he wants? Or
he's a corporate pilot. He flies for a high net worth individual,
yeah.
So he's got a great job with some freedom. But no, he's totally the opposite of me. Like he could not have a job tomorrow. And as long as the money was there, and he could golf, he would have no, there's no.
Well, he's got a pretty good job for that. I mean, he's got, yeah. I know a number of corporate pilots.
Yeah, I know.
They get pretty sweet jobs. They normally go to nice places. And if they're the person that runs the plane is a athlete at all, they typically get to participate.
Will your own retirement be delayed as a result of you doing this career change in mid-50s?
I think what I'm living right now is my retirement until somebody stops paying me. You know, I mean, I think I am kind of living what I want to live until I don't feel like it anymore. He's fine. I mean, like I said, he totally works to live. I have most of my life lived to work,
and
I'm now trying to find some balance.
Good for you. Good
this
for
is
you.
Really cool.
Very fascinating. Yeah. Can we have you on again?
Oh, anytime, guys. This is fun. You guys are great. By the way, did that guy who win the Powerball, was that real?
It was real. It was real. We did some research after that.
Looking at each other's studio thing.
We're thinking this guy's messing with us. But it was a guy out of the Midwest that won some sort of national.
Was he the Indiana guy? The guy
he was.
Trying to just okay.
That was a tape show.
Like, is this real?
That was a tape show, and it was real, and hopefully takes our advice, which is to make it as simple as possible, because you see people like that. We see lottery winners or people that have come into what we call sudden wealth.
They
have a tendency to make terrible, terrible decisions. And
he's got the young wife.
He does have the young wife.
Well, it's already overcomplicated.
I mean, that's already an issue.
Hey, thank you. We've been with Jane Wells. She's a special correspondent with CNBC and creating her own life and her own future. So, Jane, we're looking forward to seeing what your future becomes. So this is kind of cool.
Okay, great.
Like what you're doing.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time to be in Hanson McClain's Money Matters. And to join the program, 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. And we are in Lincoln Hills, California with Daniel. Daniel, you're with Hanson McClain.
Good morning.
Hi,
good morning,
Daniel.
Thanks for taking my call.
What can we do for you?
Thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
I think I'm in pretty good shape. I just kind of like to get it affirmed. I'm a retired state employee, so I have a pension, not big. I have a little Social Security, which is not big at all because I didn't contribute for the 29 years I worked for the state. And I have enough income coming in monthly to cover my expenses. I have about $320,000 in stock. I have about $110,000 in an IRA. That's what used to be the state deferred comp. And I got $50,000 in a Vanguard total bond fund. Then I have about another $120,000 in a bond fund with a Wed Bush, and then I have about $300 in cash between my checking account and my savings account, and I have no debt.
And what's your question for us?
Well, the cash, is that the best place at this time in the world's market to keep some cash or not?
How old are you? Did you tell us how old you are?
Yeah, I'm 83.
Have you typically had a higher? First of all, I mean, kind of going through this, like, you know, it's like Pat's like, why'd you call? When he sounds like everything looks good. Now,
you're 83. You just and are you taking any of this income to live on?
I have to take what they call the minimum.
Yeah, required minimum
distribution.
Is less than $10,000 out of your IRA, correct?
I take about $7,000.
So you've got 400, and let's do the math on 400. It's, 400. You want to get that, or?
I do. So if you want to go to a commercial, go ahead.
So we got about 900.
He's serious.
Did he put us on hold?
Yes.
That's hilarious.
That is funny.
I was joking. Daniel.
All right, we're going to put Daniel on hold. We're going to answer
Let's answer the question. He doesn't need to hear it.
Kareem.
He can listen to the broadcast.
He can listen to the
podcast, by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah. So what do we got here, Scott? Eight.
So here's the thing.
You got 700,000.
No, it's more than that. Six, seven, eight, about 900,000.
Yeah, 900.
So here's, investments are based on a couple things. One, what are your objectives, right? What are these dollars designed for?
Mm-hmm.
First thing. Secondly, how long do I have before I need the dollars to what I want they're designed for? And third, how much ups and downs, how much swings do I want to see? Can I live with?
Yeah, and he's 83 years of age, which, by the way, at 83, you can put anyone you want on hold. There's not a lot of recourse.
That's right. That's what's funny about it, I know.
Even a radio show you call me.
That's why you're 83. Yeah, yeah. Ah, these kids.
I put them on hold.
Oh, he doesn't like me. Okay.
So those are the things you look at. If he was sitting in my office, I'd actually tell him to try to figure out how to start giving money away.
Well, the real thing is, so what are these dollars? The bigger question is,
what are they for?
What are they for? And until that question's answered,
we don't know whether you should have that much money in cash or not. And yeah. Where did the money come from and how long has it been there?
Yeah.
Did you just inherit it? Was it? But quite those frankly, if you're 83 and you've got 900,000 and you're not really spending any of it and your house is paid for and you've got monthly pension from and Social Security, you might want to consider either setting a gifting program up for your family, your children, your grandchildren, start paying for some college education.
Or just watching how they might.
Or.
Gift a little now to see how they're going to spend it.
Yeah, or gift to some charities. So, anyway, Daniel, if you had not put us on hold, you'd be able to hear the answer.
I like that, though. That's funny. One, that was a first. Do you know what?
Out of
22 years. That was a first.
Yeah, yes.
I appreciate it,
Is that how long we've been doing this?
Yeah, 22 years.
Wow.
Well, I tell you what, this is all the time we have left for 2017 for the Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, it's been nice having you part of our program. And I got to tell you, Pat and I have been doing this a long time, 22 years. And as long as the shows will have us, and I guess now so many people listen to podcasts, as long as people continue to listen to our program, we will continue broadcasting this program because, frankly, we enjoy educating people to help people make wise choices.
I like the phone calls more than anything. I do.
You like the phone calls?
I like people calling and asking questions more
than
anything.
So, you know what? If it's not on Saturday and you have a question for Pat, his cell phone number is 916. You say you like taking the calls. Anyway, I hope everyone has a fantastic New Year's. It's always a good time to be with friends and family and loved ones over the New Year's, bringing in 2018. Enjoy the rest of the year, and we'll see you next year. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.